Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast. I'm Ollie Lum and as always I'm joined by my co-host Matt Seddon. Slightly different format this week as we've got two guests for you guys. This week we welcomed 800 meter runner Alex Bell and her fiance and training partner Josh Norman. Alex has a personal best of 159 and has represented England and Great Britain at the Commonwealth Games and the World Championships. As well as being Alex's training partner, Josh works for William Hill and gave us an insight into potential revenue that gambling could bring in for domestic athletics in the UK.
Yeah, welcome back, guys. Cracking episode for you today. But just before I, you know, discuss what we talk about, I just want to thank you guys for listening over the past week or so. You know, the listens are going up, the names getting out there. So we appreciate all the support we're getting and just keep sharing and spreading the word, basically. But look, today, yeah, we get Alex and Josh on. We discuss dropout rates, you know, how to overcome them, because Alex, now 27, being in the sport a very long time, she gives her advice on how she's still connected in the sport. So any coaches, athletes, parents, listen out for that. We talk about the highs and lows, and we also talk about the strength in middle distance running right now and what it's going to take for Alex to qualify for Tokyo and, you know, plans for her summer season. So really insightful there. And look, we then just bring Josh in because not only does he give an extra opinion on, you know, Alex's career so far, we also discuss to him about gambling and getting betting into sport. So his job, he will go on to say in the podcast, his job is actually a trader for William Hill, which means he prices up odds when it comes to bets and stuff. So we just talk about that because, you know, we're not trying to encourage gambling or anything like that. We just want to shed the light on what could bring extra revenue to the sport. We've seen the introduction of alcohol, and I believe that the introduction of gambling in athletics, which is pretty much non-existent right now, could add to the sport and just bring more revenue in. And that's what me and Ollie are about. We're about more revenue for the sport and getting the name out there. All right. So really fascinating topic on that. And just a note, this was actually filmed before Saturday's podium 5K, all right, which happened last night. And you could actually place bets on that. So, you know, the word had got out there that we discussed this in the podcast. And then, you know, the odds were put on through William Hill and you could actually bet on last night's podium 5K. So, yeah, if you're waking up, I hope some of you may have won money. If you didn't know about it, then keep looking out because I think it's just a snapshot of what's to come later down the line this summer. All right. Well, I'm going to leave you to enjoy the podcast. Maybe get out for a slightly longer run this week as this is a bit of a longer episode than usual. But it's probably a good thing because it is Easter. So happy Easter to all of you and enjoy some chocolate eggs, but only after you get out for your 90-minute long run. Enjoy. Take care, guys.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, guys. Great to have you on. Could we just start with you, Alex, if possible? And let's just start from the beginning. Could you tell us how you first got into the sport?
Yeah, sure. So when I was younger, back in primary school, I was one of these kids who did more or less every sport going. I wasn't actually getting involved in athletics until high school. That was when it was first really introduced. The primary sport for me was dance. So I did like ballet, tap, like all sorts of like competitions, just from like a young age of like four, I think it was. And then I was doing the football, I was on the boys' team, and then I played for Farsley Celtic for a while. And then, yeah, it was when I got to high school, got introduced to cross country first, it was. Not a clue what it was, just rocked up to this race, footy boots on, thought, oh my God, what is this? Did it and ended up coming like top two. So it just like unraveled from there, really. Just really enjoyed it. And then it wasn't until the next year that I really got introduced to the 1500s. And I just, yeah, never looked back. I ended up knocking on the head, the football, the ballet, everything, and just committed to just athletics, really, in school.
Yeah. How old were you then? When you decided, like, just athletic?
I think it was, like, year eight, maybe. That's when I joined the athletics team. Me and my best friend, Abby, we were on the football team together, and we were like, let's just join together and let's just see what it's about. And yeah, it was there. They were the best days. I'm still running for the club now, Pudsey and Bramley. And it's just like, when I look back, it was just so good. Like, obviously, coaches now, you look back, you think, why did you do that? But like the warm-up was like handball or football or, you know, frisbee throwing. That was the warm-up. And it was just like grassroots. All the family got involved. Like you went to competitions, your mum and dad would be there and they'd like even help out with the officiating. And it was just, looking back, it was just like a really, really good time of the growing up, really.
Mm-hmm.
What was the point where you started taking it like more seriously then? Because obviously, like, it sounds like you've got a really like nice grassroots entry to the sport. When do you start thinking this could be something that I want to take like further to the highest level?
To be honest, it's only been like these last maybe 5 years or 6 years that I've really like stepped up and like committed every single thing to it. Growing up, I had the athletics on the side and it wasn't something that I was wholly and like fully consumed in. It was always something on the side. So I've got training later, but then I've got this as well. So it's not been really since I'd say about the last 5 years that I've really committed completely everything to it and just like really took it really seriously. I think like it was at that like key stage, like university stage, where you get like, you think that you're going to do well and you think you're going to commit everything to it and be this great athlete. But for me, it was like a lifestyle choice that I didn't really want to take that path at that moment in time.
When I first met Alex, the first time I met Alex, do you remember when box was at the Olympic Stadium?
Who?
So they did box at the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, box. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first time I met Alex was I jumped on the bus to box from Leeds, and one of the lads I was sat next to was like, I'm just going to sleep. So I was like, all right, so I'll see who else is sitting. Belle was sat on her own, and I just went and sat next to her.
And that was you did.
That was the first time that we've met and stuff. So sat there for like 3 hours chatting away and stuff, and you sit there and like, I'm talking to her. Like, I didn't really know her that well and stuff, but we're chatting about
her. Now you say this, but...
Don't be saying this.
Was this pre-social media? Or he
didn't respond? So social media. Because I was always training at Leeds Beckett anyway before I even went to the university. And
yeah,
I can't completely remember it, but I do remember a guy who I'd never met before. We didn't really have many mutual friends. And I got a request and I looked at the picture. I was like, nah, don't know him. Not too sure.
Nah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, don't accept people you don't know, sort of thing. And then all this time, looking back from when it's like, oh, your friends from whenever, it was actually you.
Yeah,
I don't know what's coming out.
Apparently, that he in his first year of uni, he Josh actually lived on campus, so he could overlook the athletics track. Which, looking back, you never even trained, did you?
Nah, really? First year, I didn't run that much.
But then, apparently, word on the street is he actually started training when he saw me started training on the track.
That's definitely not that's a lie. That's a story that's gone wild.
Alex, have you accepted it on Facebook yet?
Just.
So that day that we were at Bucks, I sat next to her on this bus and I was chatting to her on the way down, like, oh, what have you ran and stuff? And she was like, oh, my head's like, I think she was like ranked second going into it. And she was like, oh, if I make the final, I'll do well here. Like, she'd just gone at the game kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was a bit like, what's your goal and stuff? And she was like, oh, I don't really see myself carrying on in this sport.
I didn't really want to race at the Bucks. Like, I'd probably say at one of the lowest points, like when it comes to athletics, like I was just doing it and just going through the motions. Like I said, I wasn't like fully committed to it, and I was like probably at my heaviest as well. I think I put on quite a bit of weight, like whether that's to do with the drink and the partying and whatnot. I was like, I think I was like 10 stone something at that point. And I was just like, I remember just turning up to training and I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, it was just like one of them low points where you just think like, what are you actually doing? But then Josh came along, changed all that, said, love, what are you doing? What are you messing around with?
I think the fact when we started to get together, she'd be like, I'm going for a run. And she'd be like, all right, I'll come.
Mm. Yeah,
like, it sounds so simple that.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of have like, she would always train. You did a lot of your stuff alone, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then you spent a lot of time with me and I'd just be like, I'm going for a run doing this. And you were just like, all right,
I'll come. You kind of like paved the way of like a routine. Like, you had a pretty good routine. You were training. You were actually training with the Brownies. You did a few sessions with them, didn't you?
That was first year. Second year, I was with Pender.
Oh, well, you still had a structure in place that I didn't really have or really stuck to. Any kind of, like, I don't know, I suppose influenced me in some way in that respect and kind of just give me a bit of structure and just made me question, really, like, what it is that I want to do or if I do stay in the sport, what you want out of it, really. And to this day now, I'm with the coach that you originally...
Yeah, because it's like
uni, it's been a long road, hasn't it? But it's we're there, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Well, it's like from knowing you guys as well, though. It's like Josh, you. It sounds like you almost recognised like at the talent Alex had, and you were like when she was like at Bucks saying like she didn't really want to compete. Like, what? Don't be daft. You know what I mean? There's people who would like kill to be in that position. Like you're talented. Like you could make a good go of this sport.
I think that was a year I was running reasonably well as well. So like, I made the Bucks final and like, I was like going like, oh, I kind of want to come like top five. I thought if I had an outside chance for medal, I ran terrible in the final and stuff. But like I was quite consumed with running. But I'd never say to her, like, oh, you know, come do like she, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm going for a run. If you want to come, come. If not, don't worry too much. But the thing is, like, if you watch her, like she has got so much talent. But I would never, like, it was just a bit like, oh, I'm running. If you want to run, run. And then I think something just must have changed. I don't know what it was.
I think that was half the problem as well. Like, I kind of, this is going to sound really stupid or maybe a bit deluded, but I think, like, up to a certain point, I maybe was told that you were talented to a certain point. And then with that, I never really wanted to be one of them athletes at that younger age that wanted to eat, sleep, breathe. Do you know what I mean? At that point of my life, it's changed now. That's completely me now. That's all I want to do now. But yeah. I think the fact that I was told that you were talented and you did this and you could do that and your potential was there, I just maybe not gave it 100% in the hard work aspect of it, if that makes sense. I was just like seeing how far I could get with talent by doing the bare minimum while doing these crazy lifestyles. Do you know what I mean? Like at uni and stuff, but that's complete opposite now of where we're at now, really, isn't it? Everything's just completely turned around. And like we said, that's only recently. So I am kind of still learning now, even though I'm 28, there's still a lot of catching up and learning that I'm still doing and developing. And yeah, just that's where we're at now.
Really. It's so interesting because you think that was almost like you holding back and not being fully invested then. Like, do you think that's helped with your longevity now? You know, like the ability.
Because this conversation with you know, Katie Kirk when we were in Dubai about that and that age of life, and we had this conversation. And we said, well, maybe if that was maybe because of this, it has prolonged your career a little bit. You've grown up, you've matured, you've seen, you know, what you can do off the bare minimum. You know, maybe that is the reason, touch wood, I've not had anything, you know, drastic in terms of injury or like any real bad illnesses or anything like that. So maybe doing less at a younger age has, you know, I've not achieved anywhere near what I want to achieve. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying that I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. But yeah, I think it has contributed a lot to that now. Yeah.
But it's like, it's like the little things. It sounds like you weren't doing the little things back then, which are like, to me, like they're the things which like tire you out and drain you mentally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're the things that when it starts going wrong, you're just like, oh, like you almost forget about. Do you know what I'm saying? So, if you hadn't done those.
16, 17, I didn't care. I'll tell you a story. I used to get, before I could drive, my dad, bless him, my dad had dropped me off at the hill session in Headingley. And he'd wait in the car park and he'd come a bit further down to where we actually finished the hills just so I could shorten my cool down. So I had more time to get home and get dressed and get ready for the night out. That was the issue. Like, it's so embarrassing to look back and say that was the lifestyle that I wanted. And it is, you know, for many people, it is. It's university.
Yeah.
But looking back, it's like, was it worth it? Nah, but then on the flip side, you think, well, then, you know, you look back and you learn these things, don't you?
It's interesting.
I think
some people look back who kind of went all in at uni and think, well, why didn't I have like a year where I kind of enjoyed it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to, like, I definitely feel like I say to anyone when they come to you, like, I see these kids coming through now at the track and stuff, and like, there's so much talent at Leeds Beckett and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of the youngsters coming through, I say, like, when you go to uni, I go, don't worry too much about running. I say to that first year, just try and enjoy it. Like, I know you can't these days. The game's changed. Like, from when I was at uni, which is 10 years ago, the game's definitely changed. There's no doubt in that. Like, people are so much more focused now. But, like, I would always say to them, like, that first year, like, if you ain't here on a Tuesday for a track session because you've been out Monday night, like, don't worry about it. Like, that's uni. Like, you need to, don't regret going to, like, go and get as much out of uni as you can and do the experience. Because if you come out, I'm going to be like, 3 years, I just ran. Like, I don't feel like you're going to get the whole experience there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Josh, you like mentioned you've kind of been helping Alex out like pretty much since you guys met. How does that kind of relationship work? Because you're pretty like a quality athlete in your own right. So how does that kind of work out with the training?
I think I probably ran up to about 20, 16, 17, I was still like ticking over, doing my own thing kind of things. And then when Alex joined the same training group that I'm in now, I kind of was like, I started working. I was kind of like, I can't, like, it doesn't matter what I do. I don't feel like I'm going to improve too much more.
Okay.
Mm. And like, I still like, Matty will tell you, like, I love running, like, I go out all the time and stuff. But for me, like, I don't need to be doing these sessions on my own anymore. Like, I'm not going to run any quicker than what I feel like I've run. So I just made like, now I just made the conscious decision, like, I'll just do all of Alex's sessions. So what, if I'm free, if I'm not working, I'll, like this morning we rolled a session and I'll just pace everything or take alternate reps and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it is. Like, was, you know, the coach is like, Hendo's really good and stuff. And he just, all I do is I show up, he just tells me the splits and I just run them. Mm. I just keep it simple. I just keep it simple and stuff. But I do that for a lot of people out in Dubai. I was doing Andy's, a couple of Andy's reps before doing bell sessions and stuff. And like last Thursday, I paced the first bit of your tempo, and then I jumped in with Alex Watchell's tempo as well, just to help him out and stuff. Because, mate, I think that's what the sport's about. Like, I'll sit there on the side these days. I'm the biggest cheerleader, mate. I love it. Every single person running around that track's getting a clap from me. Like, come on, dig in. Like, let's go. Like, I love the sport. So, but yeah, her training wise, that's, yeah. If I'm not working, I'm at all her sessions doing as much as I can.
I couldn't agree, because it sounds like a bit backwards in a way, but like the sport and like clubs and Alex and like you said, like Botrel as well, like they need people like you, and they wouldn't be where they are without people like you.
Yeah, like this is the thing, like you get to this, like I got to this age, like I love, but I had this conversation with one of the other lads the other day when I was like, did you ever think that you could make it as a runner? And like, I never once thought I was going to make it as a runner. You just do it because you love it. It's your hobby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got
that doesn't point. Change.
Yeah. And I got to that point where I got to that age where I was like, right, I've run what I think I can run. I'm happy now. I'll call it. Like, I still, most Monday and Wednesdays, I'll run like 10 miles with Phil Sesman. Like, if someone texts me for a run, I'm always there.
Yeah.
I love it and stuff. And I think that's the best thing about running. It's like, you know, you're constantly like running with other people and stuff, and it's great.
Yeah, he's Mr. Social of the group at Hendo. Team Hendo, he's just, he literally, you'll come up, you see him, he gets ready for his session. Him getting ready for a session is walking up and down while the guys are doing the drills, just getting in everyone's ears, like
people always go
to
me,
the inside goss, what's it?
People go to me, do you not do any drills? I go, mate, when I started running at like 12 years old back in the day, we used to drop, do a stride and straight into sessions.
I remember you saying, you were like, you said to your coach, like, no, it's just ingrained, mate, like you're not changing my form now.
I've got, like, you've ran with me, like, my, like, when I plant my foot, it's like everyone just says, like, in a road race, you hear me coming like 100 miles, so loud.
You can't
change that. He tried to change it, mate, doing some hurdle drills. I just gave up.
He's like, what?
No, yeah, but like, so, like, Alex, would you, do you think like that helped? It's almost like Josh came along like the perfect time for you.
Oh, don't big him up. He always tells me.
No, but like you were, it's a story. Like you say, like you.
Oh, I changed and made.
I don't know why she's saying that.
No, but like what? So like, obviously, you, something must have switched in your head, Alex, for you to just think, because you went from like almost not really wanting to, and probably a lot of people go through this, and like especially like on the female side, like dropout rates are a lot bigger than men.
Yeah.
And like I've always thought it's because there's just. There's not like the same amount of female groups as there is guys groups, you know?
Yeah.
So like guys feel a part of something. It's quite hard for a female to feel a part of a guys group. There are, you know, there are quite a few, but it's just, you know, there's not that same like bond there.
For me, it's always been about enjoyment. Like take it back to when I was telling you about the grassroots, it was because you were enjoying what you were doing. You invest so much time in this sport day in, day out, hour by hour. Like why would you spend a minute of your life doing something you're not enjoying? And that was, when I made the change, that was when I started to fall in love with it a lot more. It was when I was like leaving university. Yeah, when I was leaving university and like, it was like, right, well, what are you going to do with your life? Like what's next sort of thing.
A lot of people.
You can't actually make, I'm not saying there's millions of pounds in athletics, but you can. You get to a certain standard, you get invited to these, you can make money from it. And, you know, investing everything that I have into it now is, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm committing everything to it and I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would. I'm no longer that person who thinks, oh, why do you have to eat, sleep, breathe, repeat? Do you know what I mean? You do, to be at that level, you actually do. And there's got to be a balance. There's got obviously be a perfect ratio between what you commit to it and, you know, your time away from the sport. But you know, in essence, you do have to go all in.
Mm.
These days, standards.
Yeah, mate, I agree, and it just seems to be getting like harder and harder. And
it's actually helped a lot of people because, in essence, everyone's a full time. If you're not working now because of obviously the restrictions and the
pandemic, yeah.
In essence, everybody is a full time athlete. So there's no one's cutting corners. Everyone's doing everything they can. Yeah.
There's going to be some PBs when these races open.
Yeah,
up.
And everyone's going on about these shoes. They're forgetting everybody's literally training a lot more these last 2 years than they have done. You know.
With the shoes, like to be fair, like at the start, I was under the opinion like, oh man, these things are crazy. But then I think when you think about it, and you're just like, well, yeah, it's been a year almost, like, you know, it's been a nonstop year of pretty much everyone just training, like you say, and doing the little things. People are able to do little things. People are able to go to bed earlier now. They're able to eat better, and that's like really what brings you on.
It's all these 1%ers, and that's
the thing with the shoe debate can go on for years, can't it? And it's going to go on forever, that debate stuff.
It's just, for me, the tracks, like the you know, from when they went from cinder to tartan, like that must have been, I don't know, I mean, they didn't have social media back then, so they probably didn't kick up a fuss, but like that was a crazy, like, you know, advancement in technology. Way more than like the shoes. So
always moving forward, people always trying to everyone wants everything to be quicker, like, you know, that's the way the game is. So you have to, you know, you can say what, like, you can say what you want about it, but it's just the way it is now. And there's no going back now.
That's it. I think people would be very upset if we never had any more world records, and like without shoe technology, like a lot of that's quite difficult. So you touched upon kind of that mentality of training full time and doing all the little things. I think the state of like 800 meter running in the UK right now, that is so important, like both on the women's side and the men's side, is so strong. And if you don't mind, like how are you going to make sure you're on that plane? Because it is going to be seriously tough this summer, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, of course. Tough, but exciting at the same time. Like, I actually cannot wait to race. They've set the bar pretty high from the end of season already. But yeah, it's just going to bring everybody else on. It's Olympic year. Like, everyone's going to up the game, aren't they? And, you know, I'm doing all that I can in my power with, you know, the facilities and everything that we've got in place now. And as long as I do my best and give it my all, that's all that I'm going to ask for.
I think I'm just going to touch on the men's. Like, men's 8 and 15 this year, you could have finals where every single lad has got the standard. And I mean, like, how exciting. Like, you can't beat that. I can't wait to watch them finals.
Oh, we can't wait, mate. I've spoke about it before on the podcast. I want a supporters club, mate. I want a supporters club at British Champs just making a ton of noise.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like me and you can lead the ranks, mate.
Yeah, mate, I cannot wait. Like,
but just to make that final in any of them disciplines.
Yeah, you could
just
have to
make that final of the British Champs. Like,
there's
going to be some big names not in the finals as well.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have some surprises, no doubt, because, you know, some of these boys coming through now can finish, mate. You know, you get a slow heat and you're done, aren't you? Like, it's going to be, that weekend is going to be unbelievable.
Which side did you see Finley McClure at NCAAs? Like,
was it 1:45?
He's a guy, like, we wouldn't even, yeah. Like, and it was a scrappy race. Like, we wouldn't even thought of him 6 months ago.
No, he did well at the European juniors, didn't he?
Yeah. But like, you wouldn't consider him as like a shot for Tokyo, you know?
Yeah, they, mate, I think the lads coming through, like, you know, this is what I mean. That fight, there is potential that every lad in the final could have the standard. Women's 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there could be 6.
And the standard's not slow either. It's like one of the quickest standards they've had in years.
Yeah.
Absolute years.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
But the key for us, well, everyone really, is just to get to that start line fit, healthy, in one piece, just to make sure that day is like the best day of your life, in essence. First hurdle, get it out of the way. We have to get the standard to begin with. Mm. You know, that is the cut-off point. The trials is the cut-off point to get the Olympic qualifying time this year.
Another issue this year that we've been discussing recently is races. I think we're going to stay in Britain this year. So Alex will be staying majority.
Yeah.
Safer, less hassle.
Yeah, well, like, you just look at like the European indoors. Like, Phil came back from the European indoors and had to isolate for 10 days because someone on the flight had it. So, like, it's like, you can't risk that. You can't, that 10 days, you know, you could, that's another race that you could have run. So like, you can't take that chance this year. So it's going to be like, mate, you want to be rolling to these Grand Prix and stuff, because imagine them, you know, there could be standards going down, you know, in a lot of events. Yeah, I think they're going to be incredible. I know you were discussing.
Oh, mate, well,
I know you were discussing on the Jake Smith one. Yeah, I was listening to it.
Yeah, prize money as well.
Yeah, the prize money's there. Yeah, exactly. So, so yeah, there'll be some athletes there. I can guarantee you that.
Just got
good
weather.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's like today, mate, Battersea tomorrow is going to be balmy.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Lovely at Leeds this morning.
But Alex, let's talk about sort of like any advice you would give, because you're, I mean, I was like on your Insta, you're like an ambassador for quite a few companies. Obviously, you know, you work with Nike, you work with, you know, ESC Sounds, and but there are loads of companies. You actually seem to be like ambassador, you know, and almost like sponsored by a lot of companies. So I think there is like money to be made in the sport, but is there any advice for people who aren't very good on social media? Because you're, you know, really good, and like, you're almost like a good example for someone who wants to boost their profile a little bit, because let's be real, athletes have to do that these days. Don't, like, we're up against,
I'll be taking loads of photos now, mate, every day. You need to take some more pictures. I'm like, stop that.
First thing first, like, I never invest like any of my time, or like, I never, do you know what I mean, unless I genuinely like have some sort of appreciative like acceptance of it, or like, I never promote anything that is, I don't genuinely use or like, first of all. So I'd never ever like, you know, lie about something or like promote something that I don't genuinely agree with. So yeah, I just think it's just, that's probably the key to it, just being so genuine with things and not to like, you know, just,
Yeah,
are you still with us?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
no, something came up on the screen, that's all. Yeah, so I just generally like, I have to be fully genuine about it. But yeah, social media is huge. Like, I can't believe how much power that it can bring, good and bad, obviously. But
yeah,
more positive when it comes to sport, to be honest with you. But yeah, all them brands and ambassadors that I am. It's everything that I do. Generally, I'm invested in. So.
Yeah, them headphones, I'm not going to plug them too much, but I love them, mate. They're a game changer. I think they're world class.
Yeah, the headphones are good ones. And then the sport side of it, the ambassador for the Action for Sport, that's really close to home as well. It's literally going into schools and to kids who generally don't have any kit for PE, and they're just like skiving off school, and they like feel ashamed that they can't actually do sport because they've not got the equipment. So that's a good one for me, because for me, it all started in schools and having the right teachers and having the right kit and, you know, just having that plug. So for kids to be deprived of that, that's huge for me at that age.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one that I'm connected with.
I'm going to go back to starting in the sport now quickly and being like, the thing with athletics is a lot of it comes from your parents, doesn't it? I know that, we'll have like, my dad was a runner. And like, you know, from about 12, he was like, let's go do some cross countries and stuff. Alex's mum won English schools 100 metres, didn't she?
Yeah, she was a sprinter.
Really?
Yeah.
So,
my dad was rugby. What, did your mum do sports?
Nah.
All right. Well, the sport's in the family.
But this is what I mean. Like, you know, like, it always...
It comes from somewhere.
It comes, yeah, you know, a teacher or something. But, you know, this is... You get in the sport generally through, you know, parents, or you go to uni and there's people that you get on with that run and stuff, isn't it? It's just, you know,
that's what you see on the TV as well. Like, people want to see something that reflects them, you know what I mean? Like, they want to see that, like, someone to you is on TV or they're achieving these things, and that's people look up to that, and that is what they want to be. And if they can do it, I can do it.
European Indoors got a lot of good press in the offers. Like, there's a lot of people viewing the European Indoors and stuff. Like, people want to see athletics. Like, it needs to be on there. There's not enough of it.
Yep.
And I've heard you talking about basing it on the US model. Like, for me now, every race needs to be streamed.
Yeah,
it's not, 100%. It's not, you know, any race.
There's no excuse for it now, is there?
Yeah, it's lazy. I don't mean that, but like, it's so easy to do. Like, if you're hosting a meet, it has to be streamed for me.
Same with live results as well. Like, the way technology is now, like, you should be getting results pretty much straight away. You should
not be like, across the line. They should be
there, crowding around the clubhouse and fighting your way to the board.
Yeah, I'll miss those days, though, to be fair.
Oh, mate, yeah, nothing beats those days. Yeah. What for Wednesday?
And you're on your phone to the coach, like, oh, so-and-so ran this.
Yeah.
He wants to get his dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, crap for Tuesday, so you should like send it down the pole and everybody waiting for it to come down. Like, come on, is that mine?
Yeah.
Watch your head.
Yeah, those are my days. But that's what I mean. That's, you know, That's a, for me, that's the golden. I love athletics because of stuff like that. Just like, you know,
it's something for everyone as well. Like, I can't see why it wouldn't be available everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always some, there's a sport within athletics for somebody and everybody. That's the thing. That's why we're missing a trick, really, aren't we? Like, it needs to be promoted. It needs to be out there more than it is.
Yeah.
Were you inspired, Alex, or was it that you went, like, you did it in school and that was enough for you to, like, love it? Or did you ever watch it and feel inspired?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was Kelly Holmes. We were camping and we were one of these, like, posh camping families that had a hookup and we had a TV in the tent. And I remember watching her. She won, obviously, the 8 and the 15, and it was, like, that moment, like, the fact that she couldn't believe it herself at the time. And then it was from then. I think I must have been, like, year 7, maybe. And then that was when, like, we really, like, got invested in it in school. But that particular moment, that was, like, the game changer. I was like, oh, wow, like, let's give this a go. I want to be like her. But, like, growing up more now, the people who inspire me the most are, like, the people who are, like, juggling a million and one things, but yet still finding the time to, like, do a session or go. Do you know what I mean? Still finding that time and investment for themselves. And they're still,
like Joshy boy.
Yeah. Like, juggling a full-time job alongside trying to, like, focus on, you know, looking after themselves and the health and well-being. That's inspires me.
There's a lot of, like, I told you I run with Phil and stuff, and he's like a doctor. I ran with him last week, and he'd done a 12-hour night shift. He rolled up at 9:30, mate, and he was like, yeah, I need to do 10 miles, let's just get it done.
And he was doubling as well, wasn't
and
he?
And you just, like, you sit there and you just think, yeah, fair play. He's obviously crazy, mate. He loves it and stuff. But you have to be a little bit crazy to do this sport.
I mean, we need Phil on the pod, man. He's such
mate, I think he'll be up for it. But yeah, mate, like, he's still banging them 100-mile weeks, even on, like, night shifts and stuff. He's just getting it done, mate. Just a proper, like, get it done geezer. But yeah, see what he does this year, mate.
And then you ask him, oh, how are you feeling? Are you tired? And he's almost, like, offended that, like, you've asked him. Yeah. Like, damn it. Like, no.
He's hard as nails, mate. That's why.
No, but that's, no, he is crazy, mate. I ran with him last week and he said to me these things. He said, run big, run often, and run quick. And that was it, mate.
Yeah.
Those were his, like,
listeners, don't listen to that because it obviously don't work for everyone.
Yeah, so yeah. Oh, mate, imagine him as a coach just, like, giving no one sympathy. Just be like, nah, get on with it.
I think his dog has more miles than me, to be fair.
His dog's on, like, 80 mile weeks.
Yeah. I don't even drive that far.
Little Kipchoge.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your training then, Alex, more specifically, because you mentioned there that not all training works for everyone. Like, and you kind of get people who almost say this, there's two types of 800 meter athletes. You get your 4.8 guys, you get your 8.15 people. What do you think about it? Do you agree with that? Or do you think it's kind of a bit more kind of complex than that? And where do you think you sit within the type of 800 meter?
I think there is, it's hard, isn't it? I think it's all based on your background. Yeah, growing up, you either are a 4.8 kind of girl or an 8.15. And to me, personally, I'm way more than 8.15 than 400.
After the session today, I said to the coach, I said, I think we've been doing the wrong event, mate. I think we definitely need to be stepping up to 15s.
But yeah, it's for me, 8.15. I've always done cross-country as part of my training. And you look at the results at the cross-country in the winter, like, there's maybe 2-3 girls. You know, you look at Liverpool when they do the... There's always, like, me and Adele and a couple of us. There's only a handful of girls you'll find doing an 8K cross country. It's just what works for the individual. For me, for many years, a big winter has always worked well for me. I've never actually tried the indoors. I think maybe when I was, like, under 17, I did a race. But it is definitely something that I want to invest in and tap back into maybe next year, looking at the 15, maybe next year. I'm certainly capable of the training that's involved. I don't think it differs too much. Luckily for me, I think I'll have the raw pace, like the raw speed, but I am excited maybe after this year looking at stepping up and having a new aim, a new goal. Just to keep it fresh.
I definitely think that
I'm enjoying the training. I'm still doing, like, the 3K work now as we speak, but yeah, I've still got a job to do in the 8s first before we make any decisions on definitely moving up to the 15.
Yeah, you almost train like Ovette a little bit, like you focus on, like, in Dubai and stuff. You're quite strength based, aren't you, through the winter?
Yeah.
And then, but you still keep in touch with the speed, right?
Yeah, you've got to. I think that's the important thing. It's never just 100 miles an hour, is it? Session after session, it is very well balanced what we do and well thought out. And yeah, as much as we hate winter sometimes and them grass sessions, it's for me, I know as long as I get my head down, just tick it off, it comes the summer, I'm absolutely in a great place, aren't I, really? Mm-hmm. And the best thing about it as well, obviously not this year or the last year, but the cross-country relays, how fun are them? What do you think of them? Mate. You love them?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mansfield's
so good. And that's one of my favourite events of the whole athletic calendar.
Yeah. Especially for like 800 runners, it gives them a chance to, like, yeah, people like yourself can step up to the 8K, but not everyone can. So like it being 3K and then 5K when you're a senior, I think definitely helps the shorter distance.
Yeah, it gets everybody involved, like people you wouldn't normally see on that scene. You just think, oh, what they're doing here sort of thing. But
it is
so much fun.
We had the discussion the other day because at Bucks, they used to have a short course, which was 4K. And obviously they used to do it in the counties as well when there was a short course at the World Cross and stuff. It's so, like, you know, why did we get rid of that? It's just so good. It can't be that.
With the whole cross-country debate, like, I would love to see men stay at 12K.
Yeah.
And there'd be a 4K course, you know what I mean? And women stay at 8K and there'd be a short course for them as well. You know, like, the 4K is just so exciting as well.
Yeah.
I wonder why they knocked that on the head, though, because it was big, wasn't it? Was that all the champs?
Mm. Yeah, they do it at the World Cross. Yeah. That's why they used to do it in the counties and stuff.
I don't know either. I don't know. Like,
they didn't do it. They did it at Bucks Cross back in the day, but that was even before my time. So that you talk, over 10 years ago, they're not.
Scotland still do it. Scotland still have short course, long course champs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they do.
They used to make a weekend of the World Cross. They used to make the Saturday would be like the juniors in the short course and the Sunday would be the long course. Yeah. Akili would be dialing up, taking the win in both. But
you love Ken, mate.
Yeah, but I think they're going back to that because in Aarhus as well, they wanted to make a weekend of it. Like they had loads of open races that you could enter or like the locals could enter. And I think they're doing the same in Australia as well. Yeah. They want to make a weekend of it and they're putting on loads of, you know, other races on top of the World Cross because they realize like maybe just the World Cross alone isn't enough to attract, you know, thousands of fans.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. Like,
parents, they may go back to it, yeah.
Yeah, like parents, mate. If their kids running, the parents are going to be there. You're going to have people watching.
Yeah.
You're going to inspire them. Like this, it sounds really basic, but like have some under 13, under 15, under 17 races, fun runs. Get as many people there as you can. Like just, you know, get people that can look up to these athletes and go, Jesus, these kids are moving it.
Like, yeah. Alex, what about this? So I think it was like 2008 when the World Cross was at Edinburgh. Zach, and I think you did Saab as well in Perth.
Yeah.
And so like, I remember I must have only been like eight or no, I must have been 10 at the time, 10 or whatever, 12 at the time. And I remember going to watch Zach on the Friday because it was the Saab.
Yeah.
And then we went to Edinburgh on the Saturday or the Sunday, whatever it was. And we watched the World Cross. And like, that is such a vivid memory for me. Like that was huge.
Yeah, that was so long ago.
And like you say, Josh, if kids are going, if kids are racing, parents are going to be there. And then once kids are like, oh, you know, rather than just racing their own age group and they never see really the elite side, they get to see the elite side there and they're like, oh, mate, that looks well good. Like, I want to be like these guys.
I wonder how many schools and primary schools even put on cross-country races. Like, how many kids generally know at that age what cross-country is in the UK?
Oh, it's dying, mate. Yeah, it is dying.
That's where it does start.
But it does solely depend on your PE teacher. Like, I remember my PE teacher at school.
Yeah.
He loved running.
Yeah.
So, like, he was like, everyone's doing this cross-country, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
Everyone's coming.
And like, I'm the same. And it was like for the old boys.
Looking back, that's make or break for a lot of people. Like, even maybe me, even though my old man ran and stuff, like as a kid, you just play football, don't you? Until about, I think 11, I was the same. I did like a primary school cross country and I think I came like sixth or something. I remember coming back to my dad and being like, oh, that sixth weren't good enough. I want to be better. And then like at the next one, I came second and then I was hooked, mate.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was just like putting you into like them unknown situations, throwing the kids in at the deep end. Like we didn't know what it was. We never did cross country at school. He was just like, right, we're going to do a few laps of this track. And then if anyone finishes top 10, there's a race this weekend. We're just going to enter you for it, like, regardless. And
yeah, it's like regional. Like, then you got the counties, didn't you?
And that was just throwing these kids in at the deep end.
I don't, this is what I mean. I don't know if that still happens and stuff. I don't know.
No, I don't know either. But, yeah, my school was the same. Like, we would have, my PT was just real serious on cross country. And he would have, in year seven, it would almost be every year seven boy and girl would do county schools.
Yeah.
You know, and then year eight, it would whittle down a little bit. By year 11, there's probably only about 20 of you or 10 of you or whatever. Then, but like, that's still loads.
Do you remember the mini marathon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Done from that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's in London, the mini marathon is even better because it's boroughs. You know, yeah. So you get people, I know you get loads more people doing that, you know, in London who probably don't necessarily like, they aren't as good as runners as like the counties. It was a weird region, the mini marathon.
Mm. They changed it all recently as well. So it was just West Yorkshire and then they changed it to the whole of the Yorkshire and the Humber. I don't know why they restructured it, but it was always.
Wow.
I never did that race. Did you do it?
No, I never did it.
Oh. I never did it, mate. I remember being gutted that I didn't get. I think I was like 10th at English Schools Cross. I never got picked for it.
I've got a story.
I was gutted.
One year, I must have been like 14, and I did English English Cross, and I was like, right, I'm going to get an England best this year.
Mm.
I was in the counties the week before, and I think I came like third in my age group because I was racing a year up.
Yeah, you do that. You top up the ages.
I put so much pressure on myself, and I think I came 10th. And I think the worst thing was, mate, is they still measured me up for the kit that day. And I remember sat in the car, I was like 14, just crying my eyes out, like devastated, like heartbroken. That I never.
Were you 10th English Schools Cross as well?
Yeah, 10th, mate. Damn. Yeah,
you're like that last reserve, aren't you?
Yeah, devastated. But you know, no one's pulling out because in there.
Yeah.
I question that. So I only made my first England debut because somebody did pull out.
What?
I was a reserve, and I was buzzing with my letter. I was like, sick, I've got a letter, like, great. And I knew, I didn't know at that point I wasn't going.
It was. I remember it was in Norwich as well. Horrible place.
Wait, you're so lucky, Alex. They must have had like an Easter holiday booked up or something, mate.
Oh, well, I don't care. I made it.
Dear. Alex, we're talking about training a little bit there. Let's talk about training camps a little bit because you're someone who you don't seem to be away all the time. And if I'm right in thinking, you don't really use altitude much at all, do you?
I mean, we went on one camp to Front Rameau back in 2017 or 18, I think. Or 17.
Yeah.
And
what's your thinking behind that? So,
well, for 800s, I mean, really, how beneficial can it be? Like, I know there is a numerous amount of people who do use it, but like, I've got a dog to look after, I've got work to attend. Like, not everyone can just take these lavish, periods of times off.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I'd love to be able to do that and, you know, see if it actually works for me, but as an 800 meter runner for these past few years, I think like we've just done our thing, haven't we? The key thing for me is the sun. As long as I've got that bit of vitamin D, like come January, like April, I'm absolutely fine. I'm like, I just need charging up. I'm like a solar battery. I just need charging up, and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But the altitude to me, it's never like. First of all, I need to be. I haven't really invested in it ever to know whether or not it really does benefit me, but. Yeah, we've not really spent that much time away. That camp to Front Rameau we did enjoy, didn't we?
Yeah, it was a good
again camp. I brought Josh with me, my little rabbit.
It was good
together, but like I think if I was to go on my own, I'd have been pretty lost because obviously as an 800 meter runner, my mileage is still pretty low, even in the winter. Even though I'm doing bigger sessions, it is still relatively low. So
if you go on camps like that as well, like whether British Athletics, a lot of coaches have their own group already. I know it's like people try and incorporate you and stuff, but they're always going to prioritize their own athletes.
Yeah.
Like if you go on a British Athletics camp and stuff and you know who's there, you know what athletes they've got. If you're on your own, like if she was like, I'm going to go to Font and stuff, and I was like, all right, okay, I'll try and come. And like luckily they were like, oh, we can will put you up and stuff, which was great. Like, but like thinking about it, if I wouldn't have gone, like, I've rented the car and stuff so that we could go and do stuff. Everyone had their coaches there and stuff, so everyone knew what they were doing. But if you were on your own, but that was like the first year she got funding, so she kind of felt like, oh, I'll try it, see how it works and stuff, and see what works for you. But you're always learning in this game, like you know you're still always finding stuff out about yourself, you know what works, what doesn't work, altitude as well, like whether that
if we do step up to 15, it is probably something we're gonna have to consider more, you know, getting the benefits of that and see where that takes us.
Well,
it's, at 800s for me personally, I've not really used and tried it out.
it's interesting because I know, like, Ollie, you've got like different opinions on it, haven't you, man? Like, he thinks it's not so much the altitude, he just thinks it's more the fact that you're focusing up.
Yeah, I think if you look at a lot of the research for it, with athletes who are highly trained, like yourself, like the kind of physiological gains are they're there, but they're not like as big as a lot of people make out. And I think a lot of it is that camp aspect. It's the fact that when you go on a camp, you probably train like more like a pro. And for the people who go maybe once, twice a year, they think it's the be all and end all because the rest of the year they're going out partying and all that. Whereas when they go to FON, there's no nightclubs.
It was a big learning curve because we were sharing, we should learn, weren't we? And obviously Dell was there as well. And there was a few 800 meter runners there. And it did really open my eyes to see that, yeah, we're all 800 meters and we all are running similar times, but we all train so differently, you know? We all get a similar outcome, but the actual training and what we all do individually is completely different, which is quite fun in itself, really, isn't it? It's quite interesting to know that there's not just one way to do one thing, you know? Yeah. There's a million and one things. And that really opened my eyes to think like, well, you're on this pathway, you're on this journey, just make sure you focus and fully invest in what you're doing and not to be so like concerned about what other people are doing or what mileage someone's doing or this, that. It's your journey and it's up to you to make that decision of, you know, being sensible and sticking to your complete program.
You'll see a lot on camps, people that like first camp, I don't know, but like if you go on a camp, you'll see people and you'll see them trying to do, you know, that extra 10%. They'll go to camp and they're trying to do that extra 10%. Mm-hmm. And you're just looking, like, you know, once you get older, you learn, like, you just stick to what you do. Like, you don't need to go and add that bit on. It doesn't benefit you. If anything, it's going to send you the other way.
Yeah.
100%. Like, I think that's good advice. And particularly, like, we touched on social media earlier and the way everyone's training is so public with Strava and Instagram and things like that. Everyone sees all these massive sessions that people do and everyone's trying to replicate it.
Yeah, no, it does. You see that, like, that's a big factor these days. Someone will go, I've seen what he did yesterday, I'm going to try and do that same session.
Yeah.
And I was talking about what Andy did last week. Phil did the same session afterwards. And Andy messaged him and said, these are the times I've done. And then Phil sent him a message afterwards saying, yeah, sorry, mate, just absolutely bad then. But, I mean, it's just like, you know, that's nice in our group and stuff. That's just the way it is and stuff. But
your banner.
So, but yeah, social media these days is a game changer, isn't it? You know, everyone's...
But then you hit the nail on the head, man. Like that's your group. Like Phil and Andy are the same coach, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So like they're very similar, like trained, you know, as if someone else who's got a completely different background.
Yeah.
Like that session you just told me about. Like I know loads of guys who are probably Phil's level, but they won't be able to touch that session.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's the thing, isn't it? Like you look at people and you think like, what are they, you know, they're trying to chase what they've seen someone else do.
Yeah.
And that's just, for me, I don't know, so as I've got older and stuff, I said this the other day, that I don't really care about what people's opinion are of me. Like I was in Dubai and Andy said to me, like, are you going to get dropped by Bell here? And like everyone was watching. I said, mate, I don't care if I get dropped.
Yeah.
I'm here to do a job, mate. I'll pay you to 300 of this 400. And then once he goes through me, I'll just take it easy.
Yeah.
I could, you're there and you know what you got to do and that's it. You don't need to be looking at what everyone else is doing. Like, I couldn't care less what anyone else is doing. You've got a coach. If you trust that process of what that coach has put in place, it's irrelevant what anyone else is doing.
That's been a huge thing, hasn't it? A turning point for us is just being so focused on what we're doing and just having the things on and just that's it. Like, it's your goal, your dreams, your targets. Like, nothing else should really affect that, especially a person or people.
I think if you've got that group, much faith in you, like I love Hendo, like he's coached me since I was at uni and stuff, and now he coaches Alex's and stuff, and like the group he's got. But I look at all his sessions. Obviously, I've been running for so long, you look at sessions these days, but I don't think I've ever questioned a session that he set.
And he'd never set anything or tell me your time or get me to went to a race or anything if you didn't trust or believe that I could do it, you know. That's and that is the two-way street we've got. Like, I completely put all my trust in what he says and what he does, and I came to him asking him if I could come and work with him. I'm not then going to like question or debate anything that he puts forward to me. Like, I've asked to be taken under his wing, and that's the full investment that I've got and trust that I've got in him. And that's why it's worked so well these last four years
ago. And he cares, mate. That bloke cares so
I think
much.
He cares too much sometimes.
Like, he'll come to the track someday.
You're worried about him, Alex.
I really am.
Mate,
he came
to the track the other week and I was like, you look tired. He was like, I was just thinking about what I'm saying, Bottrell this week. And I'm like, mate, don't worry about
Do you know what I got the other day?
What?
I was like, oh, he's like, oh yeah, I stayed up till 2 a.m. I'm like, oh god, like what is that? Yeah, watching Line of Duty first season. Like, why don't we get the
concert? Good
show. No, he's a good man. He really is. He's more. He's a friend first, isn't he?
Yeah. No, he's great. Like, I've been with him since 2012 and stuff, and I remember what I was going to bring us out. I remember 2014, the year of the commies. Waitman ran at the commies in Glasgow.
Mm.
And he went up to watch her because he does it, like, puts all the watch on all the sessions and does loads for her. He went up to watch her, and the next day I did a session at 9 a.m. at Leeds Beckett, and I remember messaging him, like, don't worry about coming, like, I'll just do it. And he was there at 9 a.m. just me and him just doing this session.
Wow.
You just think, like, you know, like, what a guy. Yeah. Like, you know, I text him, like, don't bother coming, like, I know what the session is, I'll get it done. He's like, I want to be there.
But I want to.
Yeah.
No, you don't understand, I want to.
Yeah, that's what he says. Like, you always say to him, like, don't worry about this, no, I want to. And it's like, yeah, fair, like, you know, he loves it, and, you know, he puts all this time, and he comes to all your races, doesn't he? Oh, anyway, he came to the commies, he came to Doha and stuff. Yeah. Just a great boy.
Yeah, like, mate, that kind of level of devotion is just... it's undervalued, isn't it? In the sport as a whole, like, it's undervalued. Like, people don't really, I think now he's starting to get, like, and Leeds as a whole is starting to get a lot more credit for what it's been doing. But, like, from what you've just said, like, he was doing it, that was 2014, you know what I mean? And back then, he was probably just doing it all off his own back, right?
Yeah, so when I joined the 24, I always say this to him, I always go, out when I was the first, like, lad that joined your group, and then everyone joined because of me. Obviously. But, like, when I joined, he had no lads that had run sub 4 for 1500 meters.
Yeah.
And then, I know it's been 10 years and stuff, but, mate, he's going to have lads that run sub 4 this year and stuff.
Yeah. This guy's putting that back to back almost.
Yeah. Phil's gone to the Euro. He's like, you know, he's done bits since then, mate. Like, just year and year, just growing and growing. Yeah. Like you say, Leeds is a hub now. Like, Birmingham, you know, you look at, like, what Gunny's done at stuff in Birmingham and stuff and how good. But everyone's always gone to Birmingham. Like, you know, back in the day, it was always a running uni. Whereas Leeds wasn't, but it is now.
The only problem it's got now is everyone who comes to Leeds trains here, graduates. Nobody ever leaves. That's the problem.
Yeah, everyone stays in Leeds, mate. I'm a prime example of that. But, like, all the boys that I ran with back in the day, they've all stayed as well.
Yeah.
But it's great.
But that's how you keep it going. Like, that's how it stays. Nice,
great, won't
they? Yeah. Sorry, Lon, what'd you say?
Yeah, I was just saying that's how it keeps going. Like, that's how you build that culture, like, throughout. It's the old guys staying, and it's having people wanting to stick around that helps.
Yeah.
And people like that in the sport that just, like, kind of help all the cultures. And that's why, I guess, like, all of us probably can say that that's why we stayed in the sport, is because of that, those, like, environments that pop up. So
yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, this is what I mean. These hubs, you know, you look at these places where good athletes come from, like James T at Cardiff and stuff, that you guys have seen, like, you know, you can't rep, like, what he does and stuff. And that group, I said this to one of the lads the other week, that we were jogging and stuff. And I said, did you join? You get to an age where you don't join, in essence, for a coach. You join for the group.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're joining for the people. You're looking at the people and going, all right, I can train with him. Perfect. And then you join that coach because of that. Mm. So the coach comes with the group now, in essence, as well. Because that's a massive factor. Like, I wouldn't change for a coach to be training on my own.
No.
Because that would be miserable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I guess top level it's a bit different, but
I think that's what happens when you're a kid, though. You know, when you're a kid, you look. I know it's the case for me. You know, people who joined, they were like, "Oh, well, I want to join because I want to be a part of that." It's like you go and join your mate's football team because you know you know all the lads. They have great fun. You know, it's the same in running. Mm-hmm. You know,
I did. I think at 13, I was at a club and I was training on my own and stuff. And then my dad was like, oh, let's go try this other club. And I knew all the boys there, because I was racing cross countries against them at that age. And it was like 45 minutes there, 45 minutes back on a Tuesday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think this is another thing that gets overlooked, how much, like, devotion your parents put in and stuff.
Yeah.
I was never that good. I was never that good. Like, I was, like, handy, but, like, I was never that good. My dad would take me everywhere, mate. The places my dad, like, when I got my first England best, well, my only England best, I ran in Belgium in the cross country.
Yeah.
My brother and my dad came, mate.
Yeah.
Like my parents come to all, like, we went to the commies and my parents came out, my brother came out to watch Alex and stuff.
It's just key, though. That level of support is key, because, like, it is an individual sport.
Yeah.
So you need that level, that support network there.
Yeah.
But
if my dad at 14 went, oh, I'm not going to take you to training, I wouldn't have trained me. I know that sounds silly.
Obviously, yeah.
But I wouldn't have gone and jogged on my own. I'd have just sucked it all in.
Yeah.
That is right. I think
that's what works for you and me so well as well, then.
What?
That you, like, that level of understanding. So, like, you know, when you mentioned about, oh, how does it work so well with, obviously, you've got training and you come home. I think that's what works so well with us because we're on the same page, you know.
I think it helps, yeah. Like, I know, you know, some days she'll come back and she'll have had a bad session. And we react, like, I'll just be like, it's just a bad one. Where she'll take bad sessions more personally, whereas I don't. You're going to have bad days, mate. Just go. I'll just say to her, just get over it. A new day tomorrow, kind of thing.
When I'm on a high, you give me the perfect, like.
Yeah, when she's on a high.
When I'm on a high, he brings me down to, like, not a low, but it just brings me down. And then when I'm on a low, he knows how to just.
Yeah, it's like Sunday. She was like, oh, we're doing.
He's never just, like, straight. He's never just, like, yeah.
Sunday, he was like.
Sunday. He's like, calm down, Alex, mate. Calm down, calm down. You haven't qualified for the Olympics yet.
She finishes the session. She's buzzing. I'm like, that weren't that good. No, I'm kidding. I don't. Yeah. That Sunday, she was like, let's do 10 mile. And then it was like, all right, I'm going to do 8 mile. I don't feel great. And then we started running, right? And we were running. And I don't think she said a word to me or run, mate. And I was like, we got to 3 miles. She's like, I'm turning around. I feel horrendous. Ran the whole run, like, silent. And I got home. I was like, just forget about that day. Like, that didn't happen. Just crack on. You're
going to
have the bad days.
Just carry on. But it's good for people to hear, though, because there are bad days. And like we've always said, like with social media, you just see the good days. But it's good to hear that, like, even like Alex, you know, on a rough day, she has to, like, just turn around and cut short, you know.
I think that's massive.
I always have to put my finger on what it is, though. Like, do you know what I mean? That's what
you have to figure it out. Yeah.
I have to figure it out and just see, like, is this something that I've brought on myself, or is it just the blipping? Do you know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
I do hate the social media aspect of you never see the bad days, mate.
No.
And I hate it. There'll be days where she's come back and she's like, you're crying, and you're like, I hated that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and they're bad, like, mate, it's going to happen. If you have a bad session and stuff, and like, you put a lot into it, and you've missed every run, like, every target you set. She comes over, like, I hated that. And I'm like, mate, people need to see this.
It's not every day, though.
You learn more from the bad days.
Every day, it just cannot just, surely not. It just doesn't happen. Every day just cannot get good and good and good and good.
Yeah, and stack on.
You know?
But that's what we want, though, isn't it? Like,
so many young girls, like, message me, like, saying, like, oh, I'm going through a bit of a rough patch. I'm losing a bit of motivation. And it is usually the motivation side of it. And it's like, what can I do? Or is there anything you can suggest to try? And it's... And they love to know that you're on the same page and you have the same sort of days and the same feelings and emotions that they have as well. And they're like 12, 13-year-olds looking up and understanding that it's okay to, like, have an off day or an off week. Like, I've always thrived on my rest day, haven't I? Like, I always take pride in make sure I've got my one rest day a week. And if there is a day or a session where my body is not feeling right or my head's not in a good place, I will just take a minute back, step back, and just, like, think, like, what's going on here? Like, do I need another rest day? That's all right.
I think people,
like, rest is still training at the end of the day, and, you know, that's not a bad thing at all.
I think people are so transfixed these days. Like, I say, social media is a big aspect and stuff, but when you talk about people dropping out and stuff, if, like, for me, I would always, if someone's, like, struggling or something, I'd be like, change it up. You know, you're running 60 mile a week instead of running, or like, if you're female, so if you're running 40 mile a week, instead of running 40 mile a week, do 20 miles. Bang some sprints in or something, do something that, like, just completely change it up, you know. You know, freshen up your mind, do something different, because like, it's not always going to be like this, but like, you need to just change things up, because it's like, if every day you're going out and you're miserable, like, you're not going to carry on here. You dig in your hole, and in the end you know you're done. For me, I would always say, like, just change it up and stuff. Like, I think, you know, you'll always, I think there's loads of times that I was like, oh, when I was younger, like, I can't be asked running anymore. What am I getting from it? But then, like, I would always, like, I loved it. I would always fall back in love with it. But you're going to have, like, it doesn't matter how much you passionately love something, you're going to have them times that are hard.
Yeah.
You know, change it up, do something different, you know, take a break. Like, it doesn't, if you've done 12 weeks of training and you're like, oh, and you take a week off, it's not going to change anything. But people are so transfixed on, oh, but I've had my rest day. I'm like, take 3 days off. It doesn't matter. You're not going to run worse for having 3 days off. If anything, you're probably going to be better.
Yeah.
People are so transfixed, and they see what everyone else is doing, and they care too much.
Yeah, you always.
I can agree more.
You always take the sharpness off, don't you, Tommy?
Yeah.
I always just tell it as it is, and it's always never as bad as it is when you have a word with it.
I think that's what.
It's like so much of running is mental as well. So if you're mentally fresh and you're mentally ready to go, like some people have some of their best races when they're actually unfit. Because they've got no pressure on themselves, and they're mentally fresh, and they're ready to push their body to the limits.
Yeah,
this year
they haven't done it in a while.
the difference between winning and losing this year is all going to be with the mindset.
Yeah, it's mental, yeah.
There's not much difference physically that these athletes lining up on that start line are going to, what I mean? Everyone's going to be there. Everyone's going to have that time. Yeah. The difference between winning and losing on that day in June is literally the mental, the mental, obviously tactical as well, but, you know, the mental edge that you're going to have.
Massively, massively. Mate, just finally, Alex, like before we wrap up with you, before we get to the start of the show and we talk about, you know, gambling in sport with Josh and Norman. No, but just like I think you mentioned briefly about, you know, sort of like 3-4 years ago, your sort of mindset changed and you just became focused on like what you were doing. Did like when you're on funding and stuff, did that affect? Did you feel in any way like you were a little bit, you know, confused and you were comparing yourself to others a lot? And did like coming off that allow you just to focus completely on yourself? You were like, right, I'm in this by myself now, you know, and I've got my team and, you know, and that's it. And we just need to focus on what I'm doing.
Well, I was actually going through the transition stage at that point between coaches as well. So it was quite a difficult, prickly subject, if I'm honest, to talk about. But I'd say the camp that was, you know, the Fontremore camp that we mentioned, that was a game changer and an eye-opener. Like, I never really was fixated on what other people were doing, but because I'd never been in that environment before, really did open my eyes to be like, look, like, whatever you're doing, just focus on you. At that point, I was with my new coach, and it was a clean start, and I had all faith in what Hendo was setting me, and that was the clean start for me. Unfortunately, I never got the second year off funding to make use and get the most of what I possibly could have done that next year with camp and whatnot. But I've learned from the past, like, obviously with people who were trained with, like, Laura Waitman and stuff, funding's not everything. Like, you don't have to be a decent athlete with, do you know what I mean, with it. And if anything, I thrived, I had my best year without the help of British Athletics. So, that's another thing for the youngsters to look at. Like, it's nothing. Like, you're on, like, you and your coach, you and your little team, like, that's all that matters. As long as you're putting your work and best efforts forward, that's all you can ask of yourself.
That's been brilliant, Alex. We'll end pop. So, look, part two, a little bit different this week, guys. We're going to talk to Josh Norman, fiance of Alex Bell and training partner. And look, we're going to talk to him. Josh, I'm going to obviously like just ask you like what your day job is, because he's got a really interesting day job, and you know how we can introduce, you know, in a way, gambling into a sport. We're in a sport of athletics where we're probably the only sport which doesn't have, you know, gambling involved. And, you know, before we start, like, obviously, like, I'm not condoning gambling, like, or anything like that, but I'm just saying I feel like there's a market there that if there was gambling involved, it would just bring more interest and obviously, again, more money to the sport. And I'm all about giving the best, you know, possible platform for like athletes and the sport. Like, I just want the sport to be huge and grow, athletes be able to make careers and livelihoods of it as well. You know, so I'm being a bit selfish here, looking at it from, you know, athletic side, but we've seen the success in the past couple of years of, say, alcohol at events, right, Josh?
Yeah.
And we've seen how big, you know, the difference alcohol has made to the atmosphere at events, you know, and, you know, you've got sports like horse racing, which are absolutely huge, you know, and it's not necessarily, I mean, my personal opinion, it's not like a super interesting sport, but it's just there's so much betting involved, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll just say I'm a trader for William Hill currently.
Yeah.
So I price things up. So if anything you see sports wise on their website, like, I may have priced up at the time. Like, that's my day job. I think if you look at sports and you look at the way they're going forward and stuff, and if you look at someone like a great promoter is Barry Hearn. If you look at what he's done for snooker and darts.
Yeah,
you look at darts these days. These Premier League darts on a Thursday, they take it all around the country, and they always fill out. They fill out every stadium, and all it is
darts.
Yeah, mate. Have you not seen the Premier League on a Thursday night?
No. I'm just emphasizing this is darts, which is selling out all over the country.
Yeah, every Thursday they sell it out. They're sold out months in advance, mate. All the tables sat there drinking, and there's at the back there's bookies and stuff, so they can go and have a bet.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm not like gamble responsibly, you know. Be careful with gambling and stuff, but
as
I always say this to people, they go, I offer a service. If no one wants to have a bet, that's absolutely fine. Like, I will price up. If someone wants me to price some athletic stuff, I will price it up. If you don't want to have a bet, that's absolutely your choice. But I'll try and do my best, like, to offer a service.
Yeah.
So this is when you're talking about how to move sports forwards and stuff, and, you know, within athletics, there's definitely a market there for gambling and stuff. And I was having a chat with Chris from Podium 5K about this, discussing, you know, if you went to meets and stuff, or like, imagine me at the national cross country with like a board up, just pricing up athletes. I wouldn't even bother if I didn't take a bet, mate, but it'd just be such a good atmosphere. Like, your people can have a quid on, you know, 50p on someone to, you know, top five and stuff.
You'd be like that guy at the horses at the front, like doing all the dib dab.
But I do question whether that's the direction this sport wants to go in.
Mm.
Because it's like, for me, athletics is more of a, I don't want to say smarter sport, but that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more intellectual people within athletics.
Yeah.
That's the way I'd say it. So it's not necessary, but, you know, like, you're talking about the Night of Stars 10K with the alcohol and stuff. Like that tent and stuff, is that if I want to go to an athletics event, that's the one I want to be going to.
Yeah.
That's by far the best, isn't it? Like, you watch that event and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to go. I'm talking about going to some races this year, and like, I want to see these events, you know, have some like livelihood to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
unless you're a pure fan who like appreciates watching the split times go around and things like that, and just wants to go to a Diamond League or Peyton Jordan and just look at the split times and appreciate it for the rawness of the sport, there needs to be something else. Like, you're not going to get casual fans getting excited about, I don't know, a steeplechase. Like, I think about when me and you, Matt, we went to the Paris Diamond League when Jager ran his 8 flat. And you're kind of looking around, like, no one really knew what was going down until like the end. But we were thinking, like, bloody hell, these splits are ridiculous. He's going well under 8 minutes. Like, but like that was us, and we're kind of like very invested in terms of that side. And if you want like casual fans, or not even just casual people who like the sport but aren't necessarily interested in time so much, you need some more of an atmosphere.
Yeah, but this is the thing as well. It's like, you're an endurance fan, aren't you? Like, you wouldn't. I'm the same. I wouldn't sit and watch sprints and throws and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think they'd sit and watch endurance. They'd look at a 10K and be like, "That's horrendous. I don't want to watch that."
Yeah.
So even like people that are purists have their like niches within the sport.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so like the betting side is massive. Like, it makes, I don't want to say everything more interesting, but people then have more of an interest within, like, they're watching it for a reason, aren't they?
Who'd have that decision though, like, in the sport? Does it come from the governing body? Would it come from you?
It depends what
the... Yeah, how easy would it be for you to go and do that?
It wouldn't
like price be, up the national cross.
It wouldn't be easy, I don't think. I've never really had the conversation and stuff.
Yeah.
I am moving companies at the end of next month, but I don't know if they'd let me take a board and sit there and, like, you know, price up the national cross. Like, all the majors, like, I did the Europeans last week and stuff, and I priced up. I'll price up all the Olympics in the world, and I was going to do the marathon, to be honest. I thought that would be interesting, but I'm glad I didn't make, because I didn't see that result coming. But mate, fair play to Tomo, what a hero.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, incredible.
Mm. So what's the main reason it doesn't exist then? Do you get many requests for it, or do you think
that is the main, that's the main reason? Like, I'll say this is what I said to Chris from Podium, that like, if I price, like, it can take me like 4 hours to price up something, and like, it'll take no money. So everything's about turnover.
Yeah.
I can't then go to my boss and be like, right, I'm taking, like, are you going to pay me for 4 hours to price up something that's going to take no money? Whereas I can, you know, do a table tennis match or something that's going to take 100 times more money.
See, that's just crazy. Like you say, you're sitting there, you're pricing table tennis and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's making more money than like an athletics race. To me, our sport has more of an interest in table tennis, surely.
Yeah, this
week, I'm wrong.
This is what I mean, but people don't know. My first issue was I thought that people didn't know it was there to bet on.
Right.
So like, the only events really that I'll price up is like the Olympics, the Worlds, and then I'll trade the marathon. So I'll do the marathon pretty much, I'll do it in play. But other than that, really, like, there's not really that much going on. Like there was a state, there was a point where I was doing all the Diamond Leagues, and I was like, if I do it every week, people will know it's there and they'll come and they'll bet on it. You know, the first few weeks I was like, it'd be slow, but then it'll pick up because people know it's there. So I said, like social media, I was like, I'll just tweet some stuff out, just let them know that we're pricing this up.
Yeah.
So they were tweeting stuff out and stuff, but like week four, week five, mate, like it's taking me hours to price up and it's taking nothing
in really
comparison to something else. And like, I couldn't warrant my time doing that when other things take so much more money, even though that's what I want to do. I couldn't sit there and say to them, look, you know, pay me for 6 hours to price up some athletics, it's going to take no money. So it's all turnover. Like if the money was there, then it would take off. I'm sure it would. Like I'd like, you know, you could trade the marathon. If it took loads of money, you're absolutely buzzing, but it just doesn't. I know it sounds silly, that, but even London Marathon doesn't take loads.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Well, to be fair, with the Diamond League, I didn't know like you could even bet on that. But yeah, it's almost like it's gonna be like it would have. I think the way to do it is almost introduce it at local events first.
Yeah,
see, you know what I mean, like the high, like to introduce it at the Highgate 10K, so you're just taking the money of the people at that stadium there and then, and like, then once that grows, then you can start introducing it like on a bigger scale.
My only issue with that is, I said this, that like I could roll up to like price up at like a D race, mate, and I could get it so wrong, and you could know that your mate like, if you're, it's at 10K, if you know that your mate's in like a 33-minute race, but he's in 30-minute flat shape, like how much money am I losing there? Yeah. Like all your boys are going knocking down these prices. I'm like scratching it off the board, like I'm not taking any more money on this geezer. That's the issue with it. Like the only things that I think that I could price up is like National Cross, like Highgate 10K. It would have to be the top level. Like, as much as I'd love to do the lower levels, I don't have knowledge on these athletes. Like, I could price up any racing needs because I see people train every day and know what shape they're in.
Yeah.
I can't do it with people that I don't know what shape they're in.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is a start, mate. You can start recruiting. We've got some knowledgeable people out there who can surf like the English schools and stuff. You could have your own betting company, mate.
I was going to say, this is the thing. You would have to actually take it on yourself.
To consider,
And then also you'd have like the age. You can't bet on anyone under 18.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you can only do like National Cross top age and stuff. And but no, like if the market was there, it would definitely be something that I'd love to do. But for me, like you take so much more money on everything else. The money isn't there. But I don't think people look at athletics as a betting sport, do they? The Olympics takes money though. Like the Olympics does take money. Because it's like,
you know what? Maybe this is because people, like, it sounds silly, but people know athletics is going on when the Olympics is on. And I think it comes because obviously they're like the Olympics, everyone just associates that with athletics.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it comes back down to the structure of the sport. Like even Diamond Leagues, I'm a huge running fan, and some of my schoolmates, like they don't understand the Diamond League. They don't understand the concept. And I think a Diamond League is like a relatively good concept, but the problem is running, there's 1,000 other competitions through the summer season. You know, there's not, I almost think they should, I mean, I guess IAAF do it a little bit, like they have their gold, bronze and whatever label, you know, but I almost feel like they should just have like a Diamond League and they have the same athletes. I mean, they pretty much do have the same athletes run all the time, but then, you know, they have several divisions of that, you know, and you've got to get, I mean, now they've introduced this world ranking. Maybe you've got to get inside the top 100 of the world ranking in order to be in Division 4 of the Diamond League. You know what I mean? So people can actually follow the elite sport a little bit easier. Is, mate, you, like, Alex, if I was to ask your race schedule right now, you wouldn't have a clue. You know, as all other sports, they know, Sweetie, you may have a clue, but you know what I mean? Like,
we just changed the race schedule this morning. That's the best thing.
but like, you know what I mean, like you could, and your schedule is like super flexible through the summer, but like pretty much all other sports, they know the competitions they're going to be at,
you
know, and they know they're going to be competing almost like week in, week out, and it just makes it a little bit simpler for the fan to follow. You know, as if they want to follow individual athletes, it's near impossible. Like, you don't know where they're going to pop up.
No, I think the sport kind of breaks your heart a little bit, because like, you look at London 2012 and you look at them stadiums, mate, and they were full, weren't they? But then you go back and watch an anniversary games, like you've done a few of the Diamond League anniversary games, mate, and it's like, it's not even a tenth full. And you sat there, like, I went to Doha and stuff for the Worlds, and them stadiums were empty, like, they were empty, weren't they?
Yeah, although, mate, towards the end, it was absolute carnage.
Oh, yeah, because they were bringing people in to fill the stadium. I went to the first 4 days. Like, went to it was empty, mate. Like, don't get me wrong, it was great for me. It's a great viewing and stuff.
Mm.
But, like, as a sport, like, these are the best athletes in the world, and this is what they're going for this year. This is the big champs.
The thing is, in Doha, you couldn't even watch it on any of the TV streams there. It wasn't even on the TV.
That's another, like, story of, like, why are Doha hosting, you know what I mean, world champs?
Well, you know why, but...
Yeah, exactly, you know. And it's, like, I almost think, like, look, running is huge in Kenya. It's huge in Ethiopia. Like,
hey,
the world cross in Kenya, in Mombasa, was absolute carnage.
Yeah.
You know, if they... I guess the problem with these places is they're, like, at altitude and stuff. But if you hosted, like, a championships where, like, Oregon is going to be so good because it's a place where running is popular. You know, especially distance running. Like, I'm a little bit biased, but, like, distance running is huge there.
Oh, you know, world will be mental there. You know that. It'd be, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, they just got to be a bit smarter with it and think, okay, like, the sport is huge in these parts of the, you know, in these parts of the world. So let's just use these venues as, you know, like Wimbledon, for example.
Yeah.
It's been the same venue for hundreds of years, you know? Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you always come back to, like, how do you best promote the sport? Like, if you look at it and you think it's dying, it's not, like, it's always going to be there, but it's not in a good place right now. Like, it needs to, How do you promote this sport so that you go to events and there's people, like, people there, like, fans are actually there. Like, the British champs some years when the stadiums are empty, like, you know, some years, like, Olympic years, usually it's full. But some years you go and it's, like, you know, barely half or most of them just, like, family and friends and stuff.
Yeah, like, you watch Athens back and stuff. Mate, so back to the band. If Highgate were to approach you now, they're like, Josh, we want you at Highgate. What would you, like, is it something you'd actually be able to do, though? Like, or would it be, you know, would you just have to, like, turn around and stay up? You know, it's just not feasible. I can't do it.
Highgate would probably, because it's a British 10K champs, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
European
Cup as well. Yeah. It would probably be able to, it's probably at that level that I could probably do it.
Mm.
But it'd have to be, like, I don't know if it'd be website owned. Like, I'd rather go down and do it, but I don't know how that would work out. It'd be a conversation that I'd have to have with.
Well, if people are listening, can they contact you, basically? Like, you see, I wanted to make some bets.
Listen, they can contact me. I'm up for a chat with anyone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, and I think hopefully people listening to this can reach out, because I know there's more people out there who are interested in it. I think the problem I found before trying to do them in the past is, and I don't know, you'll be able to tell me more, I'm sure, but the odds aren't great on an individual race. And I'm sure, like, I'll be the same. If I bet on football, I'll bet on an accumulator to try and help me out a bit. I tried to do one, I think, on the Olympics. I tried to request one, and they weren't having any of it. But I don't. Would you be able to do that for me? If I said an American's going to medal in every distance event in the Olympics, would you be able to price it up for me?
Yeah. See, if it's an athletic, like, endurance athletics event, like, if anything ever came through when I was at Willow, I would always price it up.
Okay.
So, like, it's legit, like, someone like that, like, William Hill's got a Euro section, so you can request anything.
Yeah.
And then anything athletics comes to me, and I'll just price it.
Only for the next month.
Wow.
Yeah, only for a month, though, because I am moving. But yeah, like, I would always back my knowledge over, I want people to have a bet on it. Like, I want people to bet on it. If you want a bet, I'll price it for you. That's fine.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go. You heard it here first, guy.
Just,
do you think there'd be anyone against this, though? Like, as an athlete myself, it wouldn't faze me. Like, it's been going on
this is what I mean. You go to the Olympics, everything's priced up. Like, Europeans, everything was priced up. Nobody really knows.
Yeah.
You know, this, the thing of social media as well, like, I know a tennis player pretty well who plays on, like, the ITF tour.
Mm.
So she gets, every time she loses a match, mate, she gets so much abuse because people bet on her. And, like,
right.
She was like, I've seen a tweet she put on the other day, and she was like, I think she was like 9-7 up in a tiebreak, first to 10, a third set tiebreak, and she lost. And there was people, like, giving her so much abuse, like, how did you lose? Like, and I was like, that's horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
But people are horrible, aren't they? Let's just put it out.
Well, like you say, like, the bigger you get, you know, it's like huge sports stars, like teams and stuff, when they throw away leads, it's the same thing, isn't it? You know, the bigger you get, the more consequence you could probably have.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing that I would hate the most, for someone to be, like, attacking an athlete because I've laid a... I wouldn't like that personally. But I suppose that's part of gambling. Like, you know, I think that's it.
It's like a double-edged sword, isn't it? Like, yeah, do you want like more money? Do you want the sport to grow, or do you just want I don't know, like a more of a private life?
I think that I was thinking about, actually, I didn't approach William. I'm only there for another month and stuff. But remember when they were like, oh, the marathon was looking for sponsors and stuff.
Yeah,
I think if I was staying, I'd have gone to the sponsorship guy and just been like, just chuck him some money, and like, give your brand out. It's on BBC. But yeah. I don't know how like British Athletics would have felt about that.
Yeah, it's
another edge of it. Like, I can't, like, British Athletics, to some organisers, like, all football is like all sponsored by free like betting companies these days. And like, it's just it's accepted now. It's part of the world. That they're buying adverts and stuff, which is fine, but it's on it's everywhere, mate.
Like, yeah, I think there are some IAAF rules about betting.
I presume there would be. I don't know what.
Yeah. No.
I don't players and stuff that like cover the shirt sponsor, don't they? Which, it's all, on religion and stuff, which is absolutely bad. This is what I mean. Everyone's got different rules on what is allowed and what's not allowed. So I don't know if British Athletics would have been like, yeah, that's fine. Or whether they'd have been like, no, sorry, we don't want that, That's on them. But yeah, like, you talk, like, this is what they did with darts and snooker. Like, mate, you put the snooker, I trade a lot of snooker, on all the time. Like, literally, a $300 a year, there's a snooker match on.
That sounds like running, mate. Pretty much every weekend. There's
But like, these are like top level snooker players, and they just a tournament every week.
Yeah.
You know, you have the world, you have the masters, you've got everything, mate. There's just a new tournament, it's just the same blokes every week. And it's there like predominantly because all the betting companies sponsor it. Every week's a different company sponsored an event. It's a betting company.
Is it that culture though that you go to them sort of events with a partner?
Snooker, not so much. Darts definitely is. Snooker, no. Snooker's still a purist sport for me. You know, you don't, the snooker wouldn't sell out. But they've got the money from the betting companies to sponsor it. So does that matter? If it's not a sellout, as long as they've got the money to fund the athletes and stuff, you know, they're all like, these athletes, these snooker players are all still showing up, mate, because they're
getting. Well, it's like in football, like the TV, the TV licenses, they're the ones propping up the sport right now.
Yeah.
You know, and like you say, the same with the betting, it sounds like the betting in snooker as well. Like they're propping up the sport. So it doesn't matter if, you're not getting fans.
Yeah, they're still making money. This is what I mean. Like, all the darts and snooker matches are all funded by betting companies putting it on. And because betting companies want it on to make money out of it.
Yeah.
So they're happy to sponsor it because they're making the money back plus more, obviously. So they're just like, everyone knows that's how it works. It's sponsorship, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, with athletics, could that work? I don't know, if I'm honest. You know, I'd like it to, but you'd need people to start investing in it and stuff. It's definitely something that I've thought about a lot. I'm just not sure whether in our running culture it works.
I remember like first talking to you about it, and like I was just like super excited. I was like, man, this is an untapped market. In the running world, it could be huge, but it just goes back to that same thing. Like, I don't know where like our governing body stands on actually making like a turnover each year. Like, do they want to make money each year, or do they just take the lottery funding, pay themselves, pay the funded athletes and put on a British champs and send athletes on camps? Like, but for me, like, an organization like that big needs to look at like ways they can actually prop themselves up. If that funding was to go tomorrow and lottery funding turned around and said, no, our sport would be stuffed, you know, our governing body would be stuffed. So it's like, surely they want a thing in place, which is like making them turn over, but maybe they do. I'm not like clued up on, British Athletics making money, but I just feel like they should do more, like you say, in events wise and the sport as a whole, to focus on, making money that they can then invest back and they could put more athletes on funding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not even like, imagine races with like good money. Imagine, British races with good money. Like, you'd have some athletes shot, and it'd be great viewing. This is what people want. British athletes race on British soil. Like, sometimes, people would travel abroad, and there'll be four British birds in a race or something. And then you're just like, you could just done that in bloody Leeds, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I could just see you now next year, Highgate, with a flat cap.
Like, mate, I could see it as well. And I'll be reeling the customers in, mate. I'll be on the channel. Yeah.
But I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it. But it's just, it's just whether it's allowed, accepted, I don't know. But yeah, like this is what I mean. Olympics marathon. The service is there. I'll price as much as I can.
Let's put it out there. Let's get a poll out there.
That's it. I think the good thing is we just wanted to share the light on, you know, what could be done. And, you know, with someone like you who is so passionate and involved in the sport, like, we've got that connection already and we can just shed the light and maybe someone, you know, something might come of it, you know?
Yeah, I want the sport to move forward. Like, you know,
yeah.
Once you're in the sport, you're always in it, innit? Like, we had the conversation when we were both like, oh, would you want to coach? I'd love to coach. I don't feel like I want the time at the minute. Mm. But, you know, in the future, I'd love to coach and stuff. But, at the minute, you know, this is how it is. This is how the sport is. Mm. How can you make it better? Like you said, I genuinely feel that British Athletics are just like happy with their national lottery funding and then just go, yeah, cheers. And that's it. I don't think they're worried about anything. I think as long as they get their funding, they're not worried about where else the money's coming from.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like you watch these people putting on events now, you know, these lads putting on events and stuff, that like Podium 5K is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, like, you know, next week, we've got a decent prize win on offer. Like, I've seen the lads, if you go sub 13, 45, it's like 500 quid for the
win. 500 quid, yeah.
The girls, like 15, 30, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're getting athletes going. Like, I've seen some of the start, that I've not seen starts. I know some of the people from Leeds running in it, and they'll be going for them times, mate. Like, it's going to be quick.
They will.
Like, it's going to be exciting and stuff. And that's what you want to see. Like, it's exactly. Sending spectators, otherwise, I'd have been there.
Yeah, I know. You are allowed to meet outdoors in groups of six. So I don't know why there is no. No, he said no spectators. So yeah, we. Yeah,
but that's what I'm knowing. Yeah, it's better. I'm sure as long as it's streamed, these streams are usually, so that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. Like the money, you know, it's good and it helps the sport grow.
Yeah.
You know, people know, you know, you say this about football, like a lot of footballers and stuff come through and, you know, once they get to a level, they're making silly money, aren't they?
Brings that level of interest to the individuals as well. So like if someone's investing and putting money into these bets, they want to know what form ship, and then they'll get what are you doing this week at training, let's see if you're injured on the bet. Do you know what I mean? Like
you'd have people watching you train and stuff, you know, like people watch horses train. You'd have people watching you train. And
honestly, mate, people would be picking me off left, right, centre because they'd be down the tracks every week. Yeah. I'd be coming up like, where you got this information from? Is I was watching that girl last week.
But like you say, people would just do research into it a little bit more as well. And it would just, I'm all for it, man. So we'll see what comes of it. But look, it's been great to have you two on.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. I've enjoyed every minute of it.